you can tell I'm who knows me. I'm not Sarah Miller, but she couldn't be here, so I will present instead of her. Sarah Miller is a postdoc in my program working on that project. She took a job and had to leave the program earlier. So peaches in the South Carolina have another threat to deal with, which is the Armillaria fungus in the soil. And why is that important is because we are number two producers of the fresh market peaches in the United States, second after California. Our industry grosses annually about $80 million over 17,000 acres. And the peaches on that map showing where our commercial farms are. Armillaria root rot is a soil-borne pathogen, and that presents the problem because it doesn't grow above the soil line, and it doesn't grow in well in greenhouse settings, so it's really hard to evaluate the effect of it on new germplasm. It spreads via root grafts, so when you remove the orchard that's infected, the pieces of root that stay in the soil carry inoculum. They are capable of surviving over 10 years dormant, and the moment that the new root growth goes through the pieces of the dead root, they activate and start growing. Part of the problem is that Armillaria grows really slowly, so it takes about 6 to 7, 8 years to suffocate the tree, basically clogging the roots until it reaches the root crown. So depending on the inoculation in the soil, if it's the beginning, so to say, you will expect 7 to 8 years. But right now, after 50, 60 years of growing peaches in the same soil and just replanting over again, we have symptoms after 3 years that trees are dying. This picture here shows the time series of effect of mostly Armillaria on the orchard on the Titan farm, which is our biggest farm in the South Carolina and single biggest farm of the peach in the United States, about 6,000 acres right now, and I think it's increasing. So the first picture is showing the orchard in the year 6, second year 8, and the third 12 years after planting. And you can see the empty spots getting bigger and bigger. And most of those are because of the Armillaria effect. Here are some numbers that we got from the Titan Farm that is the estimated value of the in the dollar figures of the losses that they experience. So on average, 4% of trees die annually, and so within 10 years, that's about 40% of trees dead. And the additional problem is that you have to wait when you plant a new orchard about 3 years to actually get the full crop from the trees and return on your investment. And if your site is really heavily infested, that's the year that the trees become dying. And if you can kind of see in the background, I really made it transparent. That's the site that's now going to go into the commercial buildings because it was used for 60 years for peaches, and now it's so heavily infested that the moment they planted, the trees dying next year. So that's a big problem. The problem, I already said, that you can hardly do anything to Armillaria because it stays in the ground. So all of the techniques that are listed here had limited or no effect. They even, we were laughing when we found that even trying explosives, but that just made it worse because it would just spread the inoculum. Because if you can imagine, it's really hard to pick all of the roots from the soil and remove them, but that's where your inoculum sits. So the best thing is to have a genetic resistance or the resistant rootstocks. So one of the first issues is how do you evaluate material? So we were looking into moving the evaluation into the lab where we can control it and to use the in vitro systems. And here are some advantages of using the in vitro systems. We were lucky that the lab in UC Davis and USDA laboratory in Davis, California of Kendra Baumgartner published the protocol of in vitro system that really works well even in a prunus of inoculation. And so you can see here how the plants in the in vitro tubes look on the control and inoculated with the two armillaria. There are many species of armillaria reported around the world. One that's important for Southeast is Armillaria tabescens. One that's important for cherries in Michigan is Armillaria ostoye, and the one that's important for California region is Armillaria melea. So you will see those names floating on the slides or in the tests that we are doing. So what we tried to do, we were growing the plants in the tubes. We are keeping the control for two reasons, because that's a constrained space, so plants don't like it. And you need the time to allow for fungus to actually penetrate the roots and to cause the effect on the plants. So we needed that control to make sure that plant is not just dying or being looking ill because it doesn't like constrained space. And so once we see that the plant looks promising, then we would take the pieces of root and look it under the microscope. So the green on the picture is fungus and red are the root structures. So we would look if the fungus penetrates. MP29 is the only resistant rootstock available now for prunus, developed in Byron, Georgia, by Tom Beckman and colleagues, and it's a plum-peach hybrid. And you can see how the fungus is lined up on the edges of the root, but it doesn't go into the root. And on this picture here, you can see how it's all over. You're covering the root system. So one of the problems with the anaerobic system is that root structures do not mimic the roots in the field. And so we were trying to find a better system when we would make it harder for the fungus to actually penetrate. So we came up with a co-culture system called OASIS, which is the spongy foam inert where we grow plants, and you can see on the right-hand side how the how the woody or lignified structures of the root are formed, which is quite different than what you see on this picture of the root structure. So basically what we would do, we would for 5 weeks grow plants in the environment they like, fungus in the environment it likes. Then we would wash off the sugars from the media and then make the like a cake with the plants on the top and the fungus on the bottom. And that's the person doing it in aseptic, of course, conditions. And then establish the experiment. We use the GF305, which is a susceptible rootstock, and the MP29 as a resistant. So the plants are grown together in that box. On the front two lines are the six plants of MP29. In the back, in the same box, are the six plants of GF305. And on the right-hand side, first line is the tabescens, second one is melea, and then next two are the control. And so you can see how the MP29 is flourishing and doesn't have any problems growing even on inoculated medium, and GF305 almost is invisible because it's dying. So we use that experiment. This is how we score them in our mind, which pathologists didn't like when we presented this line. They think when you say five that means that's dead. For us, we give higher marks if it's, you know, alive and looking well and doing well. So have that in mind if I mention some of the numbers, that the five means good, the higher the number. So these are the results, and these results basically show the GF305 is declining, because on the right-hand side is inoculated treatment, on the left-hand side is the control, and the MP29 is doing well. The decline is basically contributed to the constrained space, because, you know, plants don't like to be kept for 12 weeks in the same media and everything. And what we made sure is that the media we pour in is without sugar. So we would force fungus to go and penetrate the roots to get the sugar. That was an additionally problem with the anaerobic in vitro. So co-culture is a more realistic system to help screen for resistance to armillaria. So In the picture when I showed it first, I forgot to mention how we then took the leaf material and did the genome sequencing. We did took the root material in the time series and we did the transcriptome sequencing to see the genes expressed and look at the differentially expressed genes between the control and disease treatment and between the susceptible and resistant material. Here you can see how these genes grouped and MP29 grouped separately from the 305 interestingly enough, 305 kind of separated control and AM means Armillaria melea, AT Armillaria tabescens, but we had three biological replicates for each treatment and had a good separation between the resistant and susceptible material. So the next question is, what are the expressed genes that are driving this? These are the differences. So you can see sometimes 6,000 genes or 2,300 genes are upregulated in the susceptible, which we call it's freaking out because it's getting infected and doesn't know what to do. And in MP29, on the Armillaria tabescens, there are about 2,300 genes, but only 33 with Armillaria melea. We still don't understand that, and that's for us to understand what's going on there. Here we are comparing susceptible versus resistant material, and we can see how in MP29, there's almost 7,000 genes more upregulated versus in the GF305 with Armillaria melea and about 6,000 genes infected with Armillaria tabescens. So when we looked in the expression of the genes to see, okay, what's going on, we found two interesting things. This region here is expressed both in control and in the inoculated in the resistant source, so it's a constitutive expression, and this region here shows the genes only expressed in the infected treatment on the resistant material, which pointing to the induced response. On the right hand side you can see that separated where you see the flat bottom like left part, which is the GF 305 genes, which there's nothing, no upregulation, and you see the upregulation in the MP29. When we looked at the genes that are in those regions and the candidate genes, we found many of them being with a function on glutathione as transferase, and the literature search showed that it's indicated in the pathogen interaction. So it was pointing us that we're in a good place. When we looked at the genes that are upregulated in MP29 but not expressed in GF305, we found some genes that do not exist in the peach genome, which means that's that interspecific background of the MP29 that's coming from the plant sources, which gives them a resistance. Again, literature search pointing to the antifungal defenses and their own plant defenses. So we try to look into the pathways to see how these genes, where they sit. And on the left-hand side is the flavonoid pathway. On the right-hand side, this is a small picture, I can hardly read, a terpenoid pathway. But you can see all colored are the genes where we find a significant upregulation in the MP29. Okay, we have so about 72 highly expressed disease-resistant genes that are not expressed in GF305, and this is now next steps is actually to build the co-expression network approach to be more thorough in the sampling to catch actually the stages of the upregulation and to include more accessions susceptible and more resistant ones that in the meantime we found in the repository in Davis. There are some additional plums that are showing the resistance that we'll include in this study. So this is the group that started all of this. The first picture is the Sarah Mirren that was supposed to give this talk, so I hope I did it right, and that's the rest of us that started this project to fund the resistance and to develop the resistant rootstocks. And I think I eat up all of the time, or is there a question?
One question.
Go ahead. Ah, okay, yeah. Come here. This one?
Yes. So under the control condition, the resistant has like higher score, and the sensitive one has a lower score. So why that would be?
We don't know, but we attribute that to the constraints in the tube. And the MP29 is dwarfing rootstocks, and the plants are a little bit smaller when you start them in the tissue culture. GF305 is more vigorous even in the in vitro culture. Maybe that's the reason. We really don't know, but and it's a visual scoring. So there might be also human error that to us it looks better, and MP29 has red leaves, so you know, and so you might maybe not see the stress that much as on the green leaves. That's just my speculation. Thank you. Okay, let's go quickly.